Monday edition, the record-breaking contract edition of Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. My name is Alex Strofe. Producer Tiny Hands is back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Joshy DiMaggio with me as well, the groundhog of the show here at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All Studios. Here in downtown Milwaukee. Lots to get to, man. Lots to get to in regards to the 8:03 p.m. Friday night news dump. That was the Jordan Love contract extension, the one we all knew was coming eventually. It has come and went, and it is in the books. 4 years, $220 million for Jordan Love. That is $55 million a year. That is an NFL record, tying Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence as the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. We will react to that the entire show today. I would love to hear from you on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams, the ESPN Madison Facebook page, and wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand after the fact, because I have a ton of various thoughts on this that we will get to, right? What does this do to the expectations? What do we need to see out of Jordan Love now that he is the highest paid player in the NFL? We'll get to all of that. But the thing that bugs me is that on Friday afternoon, very early afternoon, Tua Tagovailoa, also represented by Athletes First, same agency as Jordan Love. And by the way, let's keep in mind, the one time I take a day off, all of this starts happening. I haven't taken a day off in like 6 months. I took Friday off. Tua Tagovailoa signs a massive deal. So then you're thinking, okay, it's coming. Like, it's going to happen any moment. And they wait until 8 o'clock on a Friday night. To let that fly, right? If it's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, at least we have a few days, you know, built in Thursday, Friday, we're here. And, like, I love waking up on a Saturday morning and being here. That was a blast, and me and Gabe Neitzel, if you missed any of our conversation the morning after, it was awesome. But 8:03 p.m., I'm, like, a couple drinks deep from my friends at Door County Distillery. I was over at AmFam Field. I was tailgating, mixing up cherry brandy old fashions in the parking lot at AmFam Field. It's like, well, I can't really go into work. I'm watching a Brewer game. As Jordan Love becomes the highest paid quarterback in NFL history, 4 years, $220 million. It's the right thing to do. Let's start there. This is the right move to make. The Packers made their bed when they moved on from Aaron Rodgers. A couple of years ago, they traded up to draft Jordan Love. And last year, rather than giving him the fifth-year option, which he would have been playing on this year, they opted to go for that weird kind of one-and-one extension. But with knowing, going into that extension they signed last year on May 3rd, with knowing, if things go well for Jordan Love in 2023, we're going to have to really pay him in the offseason of 2024. And from May 3rd until July 26th, which was Friday when he signed the contract, they were figuring out what that dollar sign exactly was. And we'll hear from Adam Schefter coming up in a little bit. He joined Gabe Neitzel and myself on Saturday during our, I believe we were calling it, the Jordan Love Contract Extension Extravaganza on ESPN Wisconsin. We'll hear a few clips from Schefty, but that includes something I want to talk about here, which is what the heck took so long? Right, because May 3rd was the date we all had circled on our calendars, was the day we continued to talk about that, hey, this is when Jordan Love is eligible for an extension, and it just didn't happen until July 26th. What took so long was obviously, A, the Packers probably weren't ready to make him the highest paid quarterback in football, which they ultimately ended up doing by giving him the $55 million a year. The other part of it is they probably wanted him longer than 4 years if they were going to give him that type of money. Because now at a four-year deal, that means in 2028, when Jordan Love is 30 years old, he can essentially either become a free agent or not have a contract going into that season. And what the quarterback market is going to look like there, even if he is average the next 4 years, 5 years, he's going to make more money than he made this time because the quarterback contracts are only going up. So for the Packers, this was the correct move. For Jordan Love, this is best case scenario. BCS, best case scenario for Jordan Love. 4 years, $220 million. $155 million of it is guaranteed, making $55 million a year. This is great, man. I've got the Love jersey on if you're listening on the audio side. It's exciting. You have another franchise quarterback. And to go from Favre, Rodgers to Love is absolutely unbelievable. It's never been done like this in NFL history, especially to the level at which you expect Love to play. Even, again, if he's just average, it's still better than, you know, if you look around the division. He's, that means he's in golf category and you're in better standing than the Bears and Vikings practically ever have been. The Vikings had a couple good years with Kirk Cousins. Otherwise, it's been quarterback purgatory since Dante Culpepper. The Lions, they've always had good quarterback play, but everything else has been trashy. Now they're on the up and up with Jared Goff leading the charge. And then the Bears have just never had a good quarterback. Never had a 4,000-yard passer. So you're in good shape, even if he's average. But this is great news. It's over. It's done with. The first padded practice was on Saturday, and Jordan Love had pads on. He practiced. And look, I don't read too much into practice. I said this earlier this year when we were reacting to Caleb Williams having a rough practice for Chicago. It sounded like Jordan Love didn't have a great practice on Saturday. That's okay. That's all right. Or Sunday, excuse me. I think it was yesterday. He threw a pick six to seventh round pick Callan King, which is good news. And the defense apparently looks really good. But we'll get into all that. We go to Tiny Hands. Hunter Vaughn. It's over. It's done with. We're done talking about what if or how if or what it should be or what it could be. We know what it is. It's 4 years. It's $220 million. It's $155 million guaranteed. And it is $55 million a year for the new highest paid quarterback in the NFL, Jordan Love.
Yeah, I just, there's two things that you said that I just need to circle back to. The first one, though, was what you just said about how you don't take too much stock into practice. But on this very program, we have ripped on Caleb Williams and the Bears for him not being good in practice. So are you backtracking from that?
I just said, Hunter, I said on this show, we could go pull the tape if you want to. I said I don't know if he's going to be good, but I don't read too much into practices. I said that about Caleb Williams.
Yeah, but then I also made fun of Caleb Williams for his practice performance. So you really were saying what you think about practice.
Okay. Now, things can exist in fanhood and fandom, Hunter. Double standards exist. If a Bears quarterback is pooping the bed in practice, I'm probably going to make fun of him for it. If Jordan Love, who hasn't practiced legitimately with the Packers since, you know, what, last year, I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it too much if his first practice is rough. Now, if this translates to, let's say, the one or two drives he plays in the preseason, then maybe I'll be a little bit worried heading into Brazil for week one. But in the meantime, I'm not that worried about it. What's your second question, follow-up question?
The second one was, you mentioned, you know, we've talked a lot about the Packers having this history now of quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. I think the only other franchise that comes close to this play is going to be San Francisco with the Montana to Young. Because I can't think of anybody else that has even been able to go back-to-back. Like
Manning to Luck in Indianapolis. Obviously, there was the year where he was hurt.
Yeah. So, like, that's where, like, I almost disqualify that a little bit just because, I mean, literally they went season into season into season, the Packers have, and the 49ers went one into the next. The only other one I can think of third is going to be the Cowboys going Romo into Dak, and that's a distant third because of not having a Super Bowl. So, like, that's just another level of context to what the Packers have been able to do. It's absurd to me. And not cheering for the Packers, I absolutely hate it. Like, I'm so tired of this. I hate the fact that they have their guy. And it makes it even worse now that they're like, oh, okay, he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. And this just, it totally sucks. I hate it so much.
Yeah, I mean, the other, I guess, recent example, but I don't even know if it was this quick of a transition, was Phillip Rivers to Justin Herbert. But I think there was, who was starting ahead of him? Tyrod Taylor, yeah. I think, and then he had the punctured lung.
Yep.
That one probably doesn't even count either. So, yeah, it's rare. It's absolutely rare air, and to have three in a row the way the Packers have is absurd. And as a Packers fan, you know, you should celebrate that every damn day of the week, because when you are looking at the graphic we have on the screen, 4 years, $220 million, and a smiling Jordan Love, it is the best case scenario. You are not in quarterback purgatory. You are no longer asking the question of, is this next guy going to be the guy? You don't have to ask that question. You got your answer last year. And while it wasn't always pretty, the second half of the year was as pretty as it came for anybody last season. And that was Jordan Love was the best quarterback in football. He was unbelievable the second half of the year. His first playoff game as a starter, he hangs 50 points on the Dallas Cowboys on the road. His second playoff game as a starter, he goes to Santa Clara, plays the eventual NFC champion 49ers as good as he could have for three quarters. But but ultimately fell a little short, which is okay. But as you move forward, the expectations change, and we will get to that momentarily. Now, I want to bring in the groundhog, Joshy DiMaggio, because I'm a little irritated with him. Joshy, 2 weeks ago, we made a bet. I said by end of day, Wednesday, last Wednesday, which would have been the 24th, this deal would be done. That conversation got sparked by you saying, yeah, you don't think he'll sign until the week of the Brazil game. And that was a baby pull. I don't know that you fully felt that, but you thought this thing would linger into August. You told me, yeah, I don't think this is getting done for a while. There's more here. There's more drama here. Theatrics and dramatics between Love and the Packers. And I got suckered in. I said, I'm so confident I'll put lunch on it. Next Wednesday, they'll have it done by then. They waited 2 days too long. They got it done on Friday. But somehow I still owe you lunch, even though you thought this wouldn't get done for another month.
Yeah, it just shows you what a better negotiator I am than you. I can work the angles, good at gambling, things of that nature. You played right into my hand. I thought it was going to be more contentious, carry out a little bit longer. I did move date up to August 1st. So we did sort of meet in the middle. But Wednesday was way too aggressive.
Was it, though?
They, like, had a day off coming up. You just... I mean, to you, it was going to be done the day of training camp, and there's going to be no issues.
Yep.
I think that plan sort of fell by the wayside. I do think it's also informative, and we can't... Now that it's done, everyone's like, oh, there's been peace made, which obviously there has after you signed for $155 million guaranteed. All the hard feelings you might have had the previous few days, they're gone.
Yep.
But the way this contract is written and the specifics of it still kind of show you that the Packers hedged their bets a little bit, and they're still not willing to give away those big guaranteed numbers. And I think to Jordan Love, rightfully so, and his camp of people, that was just non-negotiable. We can't go lower than the numbers they have.
Who deserves the most credit, Joshy, for this thing getting done? Is it Goody? Is it Russ Ball? Is it Jordan Love? Is it David Malgetta, Jordan Love's agent? Who deserves the most credit for how this played out as it went into training camp? He had to miss several practices, but ultimately by Friday night they get a deal done. Who deserves the most credit for making it happen?
I mean, I don't know. I read the specifics of the contract and seen about how creative they got with spreading the numbers out.
Yeah.
Russ Ball did some work. Remember when we were talking about
does.
What's Russ Ball doing? Is he like just justifying his job and making this more complicated? No, he's just like a wizard with a cap. And there are always these bizarre contracts. They're hard to even understand. Like the people who are cap experts, I give them credit because I still don't understand how you can have a $75 million signing bonus, but spread it out over three different payments
and have it
only count a certain amount against the cap. Like, how does that work?
I don't either, man.
All that stuff it's so confusing to me. And, like, you don't really see many other... The contracts seem to be more and more creative from the Packers than they are from other teams. Like, guys just get deals, they get money, and then you move along.
Yep.
And then people end up with cap issues. So, to me, it's Russ Ball for just knowing every angle of it. I mean, Jordan Love deserves credit for sitting out and forcing their hand.
Yeah.
Because I still believe that they were further away on Monday than they're ever going to let us believe. The fact that he signed at that 155 guaranteed number is shocking to me. I think it is important to, whenever you read these releases of contracts, you can tell what the agent is trying to sell you. And the $75 million biggest signing bonus ever is something that they needed to get that 155 number, like across, you know, to get it done. Because that big number, he's going to have $75 million by the end of the season.
Right.
There is, like, the time value of money. So getting $75 million in less than 12 months, that's really, really important for the contract. And even though Tua Tagovailoa earlier in the day got more guaranteed, like, Jordan Love's value of the contract is actually higher because he's getting so much of it in such a short amount of time. That's just how things work. So it was creative. I'm shocked that they... just didn't say, like, hey, here's 200, let's just get this done and move on.
Well, I feel like they might have at some point.
Yeah, it could have gotten there. But, I can't believe that... To me, they still hedged their bets, but they still also gave away a record-breaking contract, which is a weird place to be.
Yeah, the four-year part is interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Because, and we'll hear from Shefty here in a couple minutes, who joined Gabe Neitzel and myself on Saturday, to break down this deal. And it seems like all these deals, for the most part, at least the recent quarterback extensions that have been ginormous dollars, are 5 years or more. And they didn't go that route with Love, which makes me think they are, at least to a point, not quite to the level they did a year ago when they signed him to that kind of one-on-one deal that he would have played on this year had they not reached a deal. Or sat out on if they had not reached a deal. I'm fascinated by that part of it. But the other part of this is, though, Joshy, they're clearly saying, oh, we got our guy, right? $55 million a year. You're not going to pay a guy that you don't have the utmost confidence in. He's going to be a rich man. He'll sign another rich deal in 4 years.
It's probably going to be like 70 per at that point.
Oh, it might even be higher than that, the way the cap is going.
Yeah.
But regardless, the good news is the deal is done. And the good news for Joshy is, Joshy, you free for lunch tomorrow?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Hey, Tiny Hands, do you think it would be uncouth for me to order a soup with my sandwich? Or do I have to select between soup and chips? Because I love dipping the chips into some broccoli and cheddar over at Potbelly's.
I mean, unless you guys put any specific dollar amount on it, you go to town. Break the bank, baby.
I would have never done that to him. I want you to know, it's not uncouth.
Stop it.
It's completely inbounds. I think it's fair. You get whatever you want, as long as it's reasonable, right? You can't go order 12 sandwiches. But if you get a sandwich, you get a soup, you get some chips, you get a soup, whatever, dude. It's fine.
Wow.
It's all on the table. You were right, kind of. I was wrong, yes, but we're all happy today. This is a happy day. Jordan Love is the quarterback of the Packers for the foreseeable future. He signs the giant deal, and Joshy gets a free lunch out of it.
I'm kind of disappointed it happened on Friday night.
Why disappointed?
Just because the excitement of all of us today has like worn off of the contract. Like,
I don't think it's worn off for me, because Hunter and I talked about it before the show, and we can bring it up here, Hunter, before we try to get a couple winners for our ESPN Fantasy Football League coming up. The draft on Thursday at Dave and Buster's in Wauwatosa. We'll do that momentarily. But I was a little bit more negative than I typically am on Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
I feel as if I was a little bit targeted via social media by the powers that be that clip some of our content and post it, right? Because I wasn't negative the whole time. I've said a ton that this is the right move. You made the right move if you're the Packers. But it's hard for me to think about last year for a team that was, you know, a made kick by the Saints in week three away from missing the playoffs, or the drop touchdown against the Chargers. If that would have been caught, they don't make the playoffs.
Thank you, Quentin Johnston.
Thank you, Quentin Johnston. And I don't even know the name of the Saints kicker, but thank you for missing that kick at the end of regulation at Lambeau Field that ultimately led to that huge comeback for the Packers in week three. I have a hard time separating the fact that this team was still up and coming and Jordan Love was not great the first half of the year and saying, hey, I think everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows for him going forward. Like, I hope we never see a rough game again. I hope he looks like an MVP and a Super Bowl MVP every game going forward for the rest of his career. That's, of course, what I want to see.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes has rough games. Aaron Rodgers had rough games as a Packer. That stuff just kind of happens.
It happens, but it wasn't to that level.
I think it was different because we're so used to him. So we're so used to him playing well. What I think we've forgotten, and I do want to say, though, whoever posted that, I don't think they did you dirty, because I listened to the show and you went back to the well on being nervous a lot. I think they accurately portrayed the general sense of the excitement and the nervousness that you had.
Yeah.
Because you...
I feel like I painted the full picture more, though, right? Because there's obviously excuses you can make for Love's negative play.
I'm sorry they weren't able to post the full 2 hours in full in a social media clip for everyone to digest. I do think that's something to be concerned about.
You also went out of the gate, like, negative and nervous about it, which was what was surprising.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I thought at least open being positive and happy, and then be like, hey, we got to talk about this. Let's have this conversation.
I am positive and happy. This is good.
You came out of the gate nervous, though. I'm rubbing off on you, and it's not good.
Yeah, you are the doomsday fan of this show, Hunter. Tiny Hands is always negative with his Cowboys. I'm not negative with Love. I think he'll be an MVP contender. I think this will be a playoff team. I think this is a team that can compete for the NFC North.
I think we've rewritten the history of what actually took place in the first half of that season.
Okay, now I'm intrigued by this.
I think while Jordan Love wasn't as good as he was in that second half, because, well, no quarterback in the NFL was.
Of course.
It's a hard standard to hold up to. I think we've misremembered how often the wide receivers simply didn't know where to go, and how because of
But that's the lack my point, Joshy, right? Like, there's excuses you can make for Love, right? The receivers weren't developed enough. The offensive line wasn't protecting him enough. Rasheed Walker.
Matt LaFleur had no confidence and was calling a conservative offense that. Remember when they were being applauded for moving the ball, for getting a first down?
Yes, I do remember that.
Because they were just, everything was dink and dunk right in front of you.
Well, they went like 9 quarters without scoring a touchdown at one point in the middle of that season. And then that Pittsburgh game, finally, LaFleur said, all right, let's open up the playbook. And we know what happened after that, right? The Pittsburgh game was the start of it, through the San Francisco game in the postseason. That offense looked great. So, is it reasonable to sit here and say, that's what we should expect all 17 games in 2024? I think the answer is yes. But
You mean from play calling?
I mean from a play calling perspective, like the offense to look like competent and confident, and you know the chemistry is there. I think we should expect that. But if at any point, especially early in the season, we view that offense and go, whoa, that looks like that Denver game, or whoa, that looks like that Vegas game, or whoa, it looks like Detroit on that first Thursday night game, then we have a problem. I don't think we're going to see that. It's just hard for me to forget what we saw a year ago and just assume we'll never see it again. That was more the point I was trying to make.
I guess I'm not so concerned about a single entry into the full Jordan Love story as being that concerning at this point. Sure. I think if a bad game happens for him for whatever reason, like sometimes, like Aaron Rodgers had bad games because Matt LaFleur got out game planned. And they just weren't ready for what the defense have. Like, that's going to happen on occasion. That's just what football is, the chess match of football. Even if you're a good quarterback, sometimes you can't overcome the things happening in front of you because people have to get open, run the right routes, do all that stuff. I think at this point, what we saw from Jordan Love in that second half was a guy who had full command of an offense and the football field. He knew exactly what he was doing, where he was looking, what he needed to do the right things. I've brought up the Dontavian Wicks catch against against the Dallas Cowboys so many times. Jordan Love sensed full pressure, all-out blitz, and he checked into a play that put him more at risk, but he knew would open up Wicks for a touchdown. That's in the playoffs, the biggest moment of his life so far.
Totally.
He looked directly into the face of a defense and said, bring it. I'm going to throw a touchdown.
All right, rapid fire before we get our winners for Dave & Buster's Fantasy Football Draft coming up on Thursday at Dave & Buster's in Wauwatosa to compete in the Mr. Irrelevant League. We have 2 spots left. Joshy Hunter wants you both in on this. Will Jordan Love be a top 5 MVP vote getter this season, 2024, Joshy?
Yes, and I think the Packers offense finishes in the top 5 of all NFL offenses.
Good take, Hunter.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want him to be, but he will be.
You can hear it.
That's a Cowboys fan right there, baby. I like that. Okay.
What about you?
I think the answer is yes as well. I think he's top 5 this year. I think he's proven what he's capable of. Now it's on him to take that next step. But I think he is in such good hands from an offensive perspective. When you look at the best offenses to play in the league, Love is playing in one of them. We saw what Aaron Rodgers was able to do the first couple of years under LaFleur. Love is just figuring out his peak, and he might not even be there yet. So, yeah, my vote is yes. I think Jordan Love will be a top 5 vote getter for the MVP this year, and he's top 5 for odds in most major sports books. So, clearly, the confidence is there. The other question I have when it comes to Jordan Love in 2024. I think he threw 11 interceptions last year. Will that number be higher or lower? Because we saw him, I think, take more risks later in the season, and they paid off for the most part. But 11 interceptions is low. That's less than 1 a game. And I think he had 3 games early in the season where he threw 2. There was that nice stretch there later in the season where he didn't throw one for 4 or 5 weeks. So 11 interceptions more or less in 2024.
This is a hard one for me because he obviously learned from Aaron Rodgers and how important protecting the ball is.
100%.
He's also more willing to be, he's not as risk averse as Aaron Rodgers. Remember how many times we'd be like, at some point you just got to throw the ball. Like, not everyone's going to be perfectly open. You just got to put the ball at risk. Not everything's going to go your way. I think he has a lower number. I think, I mean, we saw him like, we saw him throw it into the chest of defenders. I think that's probably pretty much gone. Like,
yeah.
Was it in Vegas where he just...
Yeah,
there was.
There wasn't like a Packer even really close.
Well, and that's only regular season interceptions for the record, because he threw a couple against San Fran as well, including that really bad one at the end. Like, the last throw of his season was not good.
No, that's a young quarterback.
But exactly. He's not going to do it again. He's not going to make that same mistake twice. I'm going to say lower.
Yeah.
I think he's in single digits.
The hard thing is, in interceptions, there is an aspect of luck at some point. Like,
to a point, like, right? Aaron Rodgers, deflected balls and stuff, right?
Aaron Rodgers being that low is not a mistake. But, like, in any given year, you can have four or five more and be like, well, yeah, that was not on Jordan Love.
Right. Right. Hunter, 11 interceptions.
Yeah, I think he's right at that 10 spot. Like, it's going to be right around there because, again, you know, I think back, Dak had a season where his receivers led the league in dropped passes, and he had, like, the most deflected interceptions in the league because he was just having, like, stuff go off his guy's hands, and then they're going right into a DB's. Like, interceptions can be the most random, absurd thing, and I hate that it's only a quarterback stat because I think there's so much more that goes into it. So I think sitting at that double-digit mark is a good spot for him.
Yeah, I like the over under at like 9.5, which I have a real hard time deciding. I want to bet under for myself and my,
but there's a point of
personal
luck.
Interest. Yeah, but I mean, there's not, like, if you look across the league, interception numbers aren't that low.
Yeah, no, they're not. But he learned from Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, he knows how to protect the football. I want to get to this. So a couple things we got to do here. We're going to give away a couple spots to our ESPN Fantasy Football League coming up Thursday. Is the draft at Dave & Buster's in Wauwatosa. You do have to be present. So if you're able to be there, I'll tell you information on how to join for free in just a second. We got to tell you about Door County Distillery. I also want to tell Hunter and Joshy, who I don't know if they've seen this yet, where Jordan Love comes in on the NFL Top 100 Players list, which just came out moments ago. So we will all do that here coming up. Let's start with this. The ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football League is back this season. Join the league with your favorite ESPN Wisconsin personalities. Right now is your chance to win. Draft like a champ at Dave & Buster's in Tosa this Thursday, August 1st. Caller numbers 1 and 2 are in to 844-770-3776. 844-770-ESPN. 844-770-3776. Callers 1, callers 2 are in the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football League. Got to be able to make it Thursday. To Dave & Buster's in Wauwatosa. I believe the draft starts at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Get there for 6, have a cocktail. We'll shoot the breeze a little bit.
Get there earlier, watch Kyle Bruston-Ortman.
Kyle Bruston-Ortman's there. That's okay. Accurate. Yeah, they are. Yeah. 2 to 5. Homer's there as well. Yeah. 5 to 6.
Show up anytime.
Show up anytime. We're partying on Thursday. Joshy's going to be there all afternoon.
I will.
He's going to show up at 1 o'clock. He's going to be...
Got to walk the dog. Okay.
After walking the dog, he's going to have 17 Door County distilleries and getting ready to draft his 107th league this year. Callers 1 and 2 right now, 844-770-3776. And if you have other fantasy football leagues you're in, Dave & Buster's has winning opportunities for everyone. Book your fantasy football draft right now and get 20% off food and non-alcoholic beverages and even free appetizers all season long. Visit their website, the letters, dnbparty.com. That's dnbparty.com. For draft booking details. Caller 1, caller 2 right now to 844-770-3776. Me and Tiny Hands, baby, we'll be there Thursday. Joshy will be there Thursday. Kyle Bruston-Ortman will be there. Jen Game and Chewy will be there. Wildy and Tausch will be there. Everybody's going to be there. Jim, Matt, and Molly will be there. Big party on Thursday for the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football League. First time it's been back in, I think, 5 years. I don't know if Joshy was part of the last one. But it was pre-pandemic.
The last one where we all attended Dave & Buster's, I was in attendance for.
And that would have been what, 2019?
Yes. There was a league, it might have been 2020, I'm trying to remember, that was online only. Which
2020 would make sense.
Which was still fun, still great, but it didn't have the same thing, because you're not able right. really there to talk trash. We were like on our own individual Zooms. It's kind of awkward. You know, being in front of people at Dave & Buster's, you got the arcade going, you got the bar.
We played a little Papa Shot before the draft.
I'll get some J's up.
Yeah, we'll get some J's up. I like to hear that from Joshy. 844-770-3776, your way in on that. Got to tell you quick about my friends from Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. They've got the actual distillery in Carlsville. So if you're heading up to Door County, maybe one of these weekends here is summer. It's already August this week. You could stop in for the tours, the tastings, the exclusive products they have in store at the distillery in Carlsville, or check them out wherever you are, whether it's that fancy green bottle of gin, that beautiful blue bottle of vodka. If you're a whiskey person, the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey, the bourbon, the rye, all available locally. You can bring Door County to you, DoorCountyDistillery.com, to find the retailer nearest you. We'll step aside for 60 seconds. We'll get some reaction from Joshy and Hunter on where Jordan Love winds up in the annual NFL Top 100 Players list. We will also listen to some things Adam Schefter had to say over the weekend, and we will talk expectations for Jordan Love in the upcoming season as he becomes the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. 4 years, $220 million contract extension signed Friday, officially signed Saturday morning for the Packers franchise QB, the face of the franchise. We step aside for 60 seconds. All that when we return. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strove. I'm back at the great Door County Distillery here in Carlsbad with my friend Rob from Door County Distillery. We're making, it seems like a summer drink here, Rob, a cherry Cosmo.
Exactly. Just our twist on a regular Cosmo. Obviously Door County, so have to stick some cherry into it.
I have to stick some cherry into it with the cherry vodka from Door County Distillery, made with local cherries, right?
Yep, made with the Montmorency cherries we're known for here in Door County.
I love it. Let's get to it. What do we got to do?
All right, so first, obviously the cherry vodka. We're going to add 3 ounces of that. Next, we'll go to triple sec. 1 ounce of that.
Need it for a Cosmo.
This is actually just cranberry juice. 1 ounce of that. Half an ounce of the lime.
The Boston Shake, I've learned.
Make sure it's, yep, ready to go.
That's such a cool little trick.
Shake it up. Shake it till you feel like it's shaking while we're on. Strainer.
I like that color. That looks like summer. Cherry Cosmo from Door County Distillery. Cheers, Rob.
Cheers.
Tastes like summer to me.
Visit DoorCountyDistillery.com to find the retailer nearest you, as well as a huge list of unique cocktail recipes. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com.
DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website to learn more. Unique cocktail recipes and the retailer nearest you for our friends at Door County Distillery. All right, so this just came out moments ago, and I want to get some quick reaction to this because I always think it's interesting, and especially for a guy that's making his first appearance on the list, it's interesting to me. So every year, the NFL Network, they go all around the United States. They talk to a ton of players. They have them fill out their top 10 players list in the NFL. And I if I'm not mistaken, you can't vote for your teammates, right? So it's of the other 31 teams, who you view as the top 10 players in the league. And they compile all the results they get, and ultimately they come up with a top 100 list. Now, Jordan Love obviously has never appeared on this list because he hasn't played. Last year was his first full season. He did make the list. It was just released that he made the list. Rashawn Gary, for context, was announced over the weekend. He was number 50 on the list. He's viewed as the 50th best player in the NFL after last season. So this is currently not all time. Aaron Rodgers still made the list. I think he was like 97th, even though he only played 4 snaps last year. But that's just Rodgers getting some veteran respect. Love doesn't get veteran respect. He gets recent respect because all he played was last year. Hunter, I don't know if you've already seen the number. Have you already seen the number?
I have already seen the number, unfortunately. I'm surprised by it. I thought this was about 40 spots too high. So
interesting. We'll get to that in a second. Joshy?
Hint.
What?
Have you seen the number?
Yes, but I don't remember it.
Okay.
That like works for me. What's your guess?
Yeah.
What's your guess?
34.
You nailed it.
Really?
I think you remembered.
Oh. Yeah, you remember.
I remembered it without remembering it. I knew it was in the 30s. I just picked one.
He unintentionally remembered it. Yes, Jordan Love comes in at number 34 on the NFL Network's top 100 players list. So just to give you some context of who he's around and where he comes in on the list, as I mentioned, Rashawn Gary is number 50 on this list. Number 40 on this list, Davante Adams. Number 39 on this list, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. But remember, he was hurt last year. 38, Jets Sauce Gardner. 37, Jets Quinnen Williams. 36, Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Josh Allen, now known as Josh Hines Allen of the Jaguars, not the quarterback of the Bills. Jaguars, Josh Hines Allen, comes in at 35. Jordan Love, as mentioned, is 34. The Rams receiver, rookie receiver from a year ago, Puka Nacua, comes in at 33. Jets' Quincy Williams comes in at 32. Three Jets in this 10-player list. And number 31, you'll like this one, Hunter. Number 31, Cowboys' Deron Bland, who had all those pick sixes a year ago, comes in three spots ahead of Jordan Love in the top 100.
Yeah, I like that one. That makes sense. Jordan Love should be in, like, the 70s. Like, you were just talking about it, and you talked about it on Saturday, how you can't forget about those early eight games. Well, it looks like all of the players in the NFL did that and only looked at the last nine games.
Hey, I'll tell you what I told Gabe Neitzel on Saturday. I'll tell you what I will tell everybody. When it comes to this list especially, recency bias is a beautiful thing, man. Recency bias is a beautiful thing.
I think it matters that for the second half of the season,
he was better than ever.
There wasn't a better quarterback on planet Earth.
There wasn't.
So do with that what you will. Consider the first half. But I think it matters.
Josh, are you in full belief that he's a top five quarterback in the league?
Yeah, and I think if you have any doubts, you just don't know ball.
Wow.
Yeah. Heard it here first.
You know what? I'm good with ending it there. That's all we need to talk about. If you don't believe he's a top five quarterback, you don't know ball. For Joshy DiMaggio, the king of the pill sling and the groundhog of Mr. Irrelevant. Incredible. All right, we talked with Adam Schefter on Saturday to react to this deal here on ESPN Wisconsin. Adam Schefter, of course, the ESPN senior NFL insider. And he was money. We talked about a ton of things relating to the deal, but there are a few cuts I want to get to in particular from Schefty. I want to start with this one. On what took so long? Schefter on the holdup, Hunter. What took so long for the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love to get a deal? Here's Schefty Saturday with myself and Gabe Neitzel.
Brian Gutekunst had said publicly he wanted to get a deal done before training camp. That wasn't the case. What do you think ultimately the holdup was? Because like you just said, Adam, this ended up kind of being exactly what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. The only thing I can tell you is they're probably haggling over the 4 or 5 years. I'm sure that was an issue because I can't imagine that the Green Bay Packers were thrilled about 4 years, but in the end they did that. Jordan Love had wins here, and the Packers got their win in that he's under contract for 5 more years. He's a guy that they built around. And so, look, here's the deal. These deals get done sort of when they have to. And with the Packers having their first padded practice today, they wanted him out there today. And so whatever that last little hang-up was, and I don't know what that was. My guess is, obviously, you're haggling over the money. Whether it's the actual guarantee in the end or the average coming up a little bit, whatever it is, both sides got in the end what they wanted. But I don't know that final little obstacle, why it got done last night as opposed to, say, Monday night. Probably just the time and urgency of the situation, to be frank.
The time and urgency of the situation, but they were probably haggling over that 5 or 4 year deal. And we talked about that a bit earlier. Joshy used the term kind of hedging their bets by only signing him to a 4 year deal, giving him the shorter term deal, but also making him the highest paid quarterback in the league. But if things go awry for whatever reason in the next 4 years, see you later. I don't anticipate that. Clearly, Joshy doesn't anticipate that. I don't think anybody anticipates that for Jordan Love. But the Packers kind of covering themselves a little bit but by making it a 4 year deal. And maybe that's what Love's camp wanted, right? Maximize his earnings in a couple of years. If this goes really well, right? If that goes the complete flip side of what I just talked about, oh my God, is he going to be a rich, rich man? He's already a rich, rich man. I mean, $220 million is a lot of money, especially when $155 of it is guaranteed. Think about if he gets a third contract. He'll be making close to $1 billion overall, I bet. If he plays until he's 36, 37 years old, he's going to be a rich, 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 rich man. All right, let's talk expectations. I thought this answer from Adam Schefter was really interesting because it is not how I thought about asking the question. And when I asked the question, this was not what I anticipated the answer to be. Here's Adam Schefter on the expectations following signing the richest deal in NFL history for Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
Hefty, we've talked a lot this morning about expectations, what this does, right? When you look at the deal, the guys he's with, Joe Burrow, who played in a Super Bowl, Trevor Lawrence, the former number one overall pick. When you pay a guy this much money, what does that do for the expectations for Jordan Love?
Yeah, I don't know that it changes it drastically. Like, here's a team that traded up to get this guy. Here's a team that traded Aaron Rodgers to make room for this guy. There were always some form of expectations for him. He was always expected to be able to do something significant and special, right? And so in this particular case, this is just the next step in that development, in that progression to where now the money's come. So do you think there's that much more pressure in the NFL playing quarterback because you got a contract? Like, you don't think there's been pressure on Jordan Love all along when they drafted him, when they traded up to get him, when they traded at? Like, this is what he's battled all his career here. So it's just another layer of it, but I don't think it's anything drastically different than the pressure that he's overcome before.
It's a really interesting point by Adam Schefter, because he's right. When you are drafted to replace a legend in Aaron Rodgers, there's a little bit of expectations there. For a while there, when Rodgers was still in the Packers, we called this Brian Gutekunst's legacy pick, right? Goody's either going to go down with him or he's going to rise with him. And it certainly seems like it's the latter as it stands right now on July 29, 2024. That is accurate. It's a really good point by Adam Schefter. That's why he's the best in the biz. But when it comes to the expectations for Love, specifically in 2024, I think we've all kind of talked about it already. He should be a playoff team or lead a playoff team, should lead a team that should compete for the NFC North with how good the Lions are. And he's probably individually a guy that should be competing for an MVP award, especially this year. Now, I understand the pressure he's already felt, especially last year, I imagine, right? We always say the term, you don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy. We've said that forever in the NFL, as we talked about earlier in the show with Hunter. It never works out for NFL teams when you're the guy that replaces the guy. Think about every franchise in the NFL and their best quarterback in recent memory. For the Falcons, let's go with Matt Ryan. Let's just use that as the example. Desmond Ridder didn't work out. The Colts, Andrew Luck worked out, but after Andrew Luck, nothing worked out. They tried Matt Ryan, ironically, and Phillip Rivers, and now they're on to Anthony Richardson. The Jets haven't had a good quarterback in what feels like decades, right? Favre was there for a year. Mark Sanchez made an AFC or two AFC championship games, but was never spectacular. How'd it work out in New England after Brady left? Mac Jones, dumpster fire. Now they're on to Drake May. You never want to be the guy after the guy. Jordan Love was the guy after the guy. And his first game as the starter lit up the Chicago Bears. The ownership just transferred to his name. And then he had a couple rough weeks. In the second half of the season, as Joshy said multiple times today, he was better than every other quarterback on the planet. Every other quarterback on the planet. So I think he's done all right with pressure. Having his pockets a little bit wider, his wallet a little bit thicker, I think he'll be just fine with pressure. But it is an interesting thing to think about. Interesting thing to think about. There you go. Jordan Love, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. 4 years, $220 million, $55 million. A year. Hunter, go ahead.
You know, I feel like putting the bar at even, okay, he's got to be MVP level type of guy. Like, there's just so much that goes into that, and I feel like that puts the expectation at, okay, he has to somehow control what Patrick Mahomes is doing and what Joe Burrow does and what Justin Herbert does. Other guys who we've seen can be up in that conversation as well. So I said it on where there's going to be a TikTok on ESPN Madison, and I said, get them into the playoffs every single year. Especially with this being his first contract, Jordan Love just needs to will this team to playoff games. And he's met the expectation. After that, the next contract then, go ahead and have that conversation. Because if you're getting a team into the playoffs, in this case, 5-6 years in a row, then we can move the bar up. But, like, let's set it at, okay, get into the playoffs, see what happens from there, and then we can start having a conversation after that. I don't think it's fair to the guy to say, okay, now you got to be MVP level. You've got to control what happens in the rest of the league or be so dominant that it doesn't matter what anyone else does in the rest of the league, like Patrick Mahomes, one of three guys to ever play the quarterback position that well. I think that's absurd to move the bar that far on this guy in year two.
I think that's fair. Hold on. I'm just curious because you said one of three guys for Mahomes. Who's the other two?
I would put Tom Brady and Peyton Manning at like that level of quarterback play to where, okay, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing.
I'm fine with that. I was just curious. I was just curious who I assumed Brady. I wasn't sure who the third was. Interesting. Okay. I'm good with that. Yeah. I don't think that's fair. I agree. Right, I think Love is in a really, the league actually overall is in a really weird spot, right? Because you're kind of still in this next generation of quarterbacks after both the Mannings and Brady, and now Rodgers is the very end of that last era. Roethlisberger, Rivers, Ryan now, right? Like all those great quarterbacks of the mid-2000s and 2010s, Breeze, they're all done now. Rodgers is the last of that breed. Now, it's kind of this next generation of quarterback. We know Patrick Mahomes. We know Lamar Jackson. We assume Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert will continue. Love is pretty much in that same wheelhouse with the CJ Strouds and the Trevor Lawrences. And, you know, we'll see if like a Caleb Williams comes through or anybody from this draft class. You know, last year wasn't a super strong quarterback draft class, but like Anthony Richardson, we didn't really see a full season out of him as he got hurt early in the year for the Colts. Will Bryce Young be able to turn it around, right? You're kind of trying to figure out what that next generation of quarterback is. But you know Love and Stroud are likely a part of that for the foreseeable future. So to just expect him to be winning back-to-back Super Bowls or to be in the Mahomes camp, it's unfair to him. But would you be shocked if he gets to maybe a multiple MVP level, a constantly number one seed in the NFL? I don't know that I'd be shocked by that because I think he's that good and can be that good.
No, I don't think it's shocking to be that good, but to just suddenly say, oh, if you're not at that level, now you're disappointing, you're not living up to the money, you're not living up to this contract.
Yeah, no, that's unfair.
Yeah, that's, and I just want to make sure that Packer fans understand, like, no, really the bar is at, are you getting this team into the playoffs? Are you elevating the rest of the team to a point where you have a chance to make a run every single year? Because if he's doing that, he's doing what you need from a top 10 in the league paid quarterback. Anything beyond that is just icing on
quick,
the cake.
Real quick. Yeah. Let me ask you this, because we did the Love line a couple months ago where we kind of determined, hey, where should he be living to feel for you to feel comfortable with his play, right? We compared him to quarterbacks. Now that we know what the deal is and we know where he stands from an annual per year basis, he is making $55 million, which is the most in the NFL, but it is tied for most in the NFL. It is tied with two quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love. Those are the three highest paid quarterbacks per year in the NFL. What if he's third of those three? Statistically, eye test, however you want to, however you want to rank that. If he's third of those three, is it unfair if the criticism comes? Or does he need to be somewhere between Burrow and Lawrence or right around with them for you to feel like the money is worth it? I don't know the answer to that. I'm just asking.
I think if he's in the conversation with them at all, I think all three of them are getting their teams into playoff positions. They're doing what I would expect of them. And I keep trying to remind fans that, like, the playoffs are weird. Dumb stuff happens.
They sure are.
Crazy things happen, and you can't predict it. And to put that all on a quarterback for their performance, like Brett Maher for the Cowboys missed a bunch of extra points. It could have cost them a playoff game. That wouldn't have been Dak's fault if they lost that game, but everybody would have put it on Dak for not being able to win a playoff game. So it's just to like put everything on the one position, I don't think is completely fair. Get your team in a position to be able to perform, and guess what? Sometimes the defense is going to let you down. Sometimes Kevin King is going to give up a deep bomb late in the half, and it's going to set your team up for failure. That's not Aaron Rodgers' fault, but we like to bring that up when we talk about his playoff record.
True that. By the way, the Kevin King revitalization is alive and well, as he is a member now of the Atlanta Falcons. So we will see if Kevin King can crack back in to the league this upcoming season. All right. Really good conversation around love. Thanks to Joshy. Thanks to Hunter for chiming in on that. And thanks to all of you in the YouTube chats. It seems like most people, though, are chiming in on Joshy's lunch and what is inbounds and out of bounds for him to go for what he should get for the lunch I now owe him. Friend of the show on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream says, Joshy can get soup, a sandwich, an apple, chips, a cookie, and drink, but that's at most. That's the most he can get.
That's a fair deal.
Do they serve apples at that sandwich spot?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I've never ordered apples there or tried or thought about it.
Are you a fruit guy? Like, if you're going out to dinner, would you get a side of fruit?
I do that at lunch a lot.
Do you?
Instead of, like, a fries for lunch, I'll get some fruit just because it's lighter.
Sure.
Especially if I'm planning to drink all day. You don't want to fill the tummy with too much there.
He likes the plan. His
yeah, then you get tummy troubles.
Yeah.
Well, I can't have that.
I can't have that.
I can't have 80 beers if I got a tummy ache.
Yeah, hard to do that. Hard to do that. Josh, you went to two concerts this weekend. He saw Santana, Carlos Santana, at the Summerfest Grands. And
my
he saw Fish
at
Alpine Valley. At Santana or Fish?
Santana.
All right. Josh, you were hanging out with the Vaughn parents.
Apparently I was.
Here we go, rock and roll, baby.
It was a very eclectic crowd, to say the least.
I believe that.
Yeah,
believe
my that. Mom almost got in a fight. She was starting stuff. Apparently,
Would you care to elaborate?
I was about to. So apparently the crowd, while into it, the majority of the crowd was not standing during Santana's set.
We had the same issue.
Yeah, and my mom and dad are sitting down. Woman in front of them is standing up. The woman in the row behind my parents asked my mom to ask the lady in front of them if she could sit down because other people can't
not
see.
Not doing that.
My mom just like reaches up to kind of tap her on the shoulder. Her friend slaps my mom's hand away and is like, don't you touch her. And then like they were just like mouthing off to my mom the rest of the show, apparently. And it was a whole thing. And I'm like, she was just trying to ask for the sake of the other people. Like, it was weird.
But Hunter, you and I have had this discussion before.
Yeah.
If you're going to an entertainment event.
Yes.
Standing is allowed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think standing is allowed. I don't think there was anything wrong with the lady standing. I think it's weird for the friend to slap a stranger's hand away and then start, like,
I agree.
Having attitude the whole time. I think that's weird.
Yeah, we had people that got blustery because we were standing during
what was the word choice there?
Blustery. They stormed off, made a couple comments. We're not happy that two of my friends were talking. Yeah, it was an interesting crowd.
Interesting. Sorry to hear that, fellas. Well, hope everybody's still at a good time.
I mean, I didn't stop having fun. They can do whatever they want back there. It's not going to affect me.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. All right, now time now to wrap up the show as we always do. Time now for what we learned here on Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. We start in the Everlight Solar Studio. We start with Hunter Vaughn.
I've learned that I like it when players are active on Twitter. And I'm going to show here, Kevin Durant, active on Twitter, even had the burner account at one time. But he was having a conversation with fans.
Always been a Twitter guy.
Yeah. And he's having a conversation with fans about the rule changes and calling them out and the differences with FIBA and like why some of them aren't a good idea. And I love it.
I love how he started the tweet that's on the screen right now. I swear y'all just be yapping. The word yapping, one of the best in the English dictionary.
Yes.
I saw a concert earlier this year, and I'm not gonna name him because he's got kind of a big following, rabid following that would attack me if I named his name. But he was a yapper, man. He was just talking between songs. I would say he's probably like a three hit wonder. This guy,
interesting.
And he was just yapping between songs, and those stories went nowhere. And you could tell he was just trying to fill time by talking. It's just like you're yapping too much, Joshy. The groundhog's head popped up. Are you going to try to take a guess here?
No, I wasn't actually. I thought you were talking about there's a thing in the jam band area where people in the crowd who talk too much, they call chompers.
Chompers, yeah, yappers.
And, I mean, a lot of that's precipitated by drug use, people not being able to handle them.
Yeah, of course.
So I don't really care if somebody's talking. Usually the music's so damn loud, it's like, I barely
But I'm talking about the lead singer.
Yeah, I
was yapping.
I never want to listen to you talk. Just keep playing.
Unless you're telling me a good story, I'll give credit to Trapper Shep, who's a local folk and blues artist. He's a great storyteller.
I think I think it's to the point where I'd prefer none of them do, because more than half the time, it's just bad stories.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
and they're true. Just kind of dinking around.
We totally derailed that. Kevin Durant on Twitter.
Yeah.
I like it, too. Although I'm not a big Kevin Durant guy, given my prior fandom of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Didn't like how you can't beat him, join him to the Warriors. I'll never get over that. But damn, is he a great Olympian. I'll give him that. All right, what I learned is that Madden rankings are starting to come out. And I'm a sucker for trivia. In college, I participated and helped out, organize and orchestrate the world's largest trivia contest in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And so I'm a big trivia guy. So Hunter has the top 10 ranked wide receivers in Madden. And I'm going to try to go 10 for 10, is my understanding. Hunter, this is correct?
Yes, I have them in front of me. I have all 10. So do you want any sort of a hint?
No, I think you let me roll and then just tell me where they rank in their overall.
Okay.
I think I can go 10 for 10. I actually feel pretty confident about this. So let's start. I did see this one. This one was spoiled for me. I know Tyreek Hill was a 99 overall. I would assume he is number one.
That is correct.
So after that, I'm just going to start rifling off names. Justin Jefferson.
Yes, 98.
So he's number two. Devontae Adams is still in the top 10, I would assume.
He is. He is number six and a 94 overall.
Okay, so these guys are all in their 90s. Okay, so let's go Amon-Ra St. Brown then.
Yep, number five. He's a 95 overall.
Okay, just to see where this lands, because I imagine he's probably on here. Let's go DJ Moore, but I would assume he is lower.
He is not on the list.
Oh, he's probably just off. Okay, interesting. Let's try this one then. Mike Evans?
He rounds out the list at number 10. He is a 91 okay. overall.
Got it. Okay. That changed my mindset a little bit. I'm going to try this one. Cooper Kupp. I feel like Cooper Kupp is still getting a lot of respect.
Not enough to be in the top 10.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Now I got to restart my strategy here then.
There's a couple you should really have gotten already.
Okay.
There's two that I think you should be able to nail.
Okay.
And I haven't even seen this
three.
List, but
there's
I'm
three
probably overthinking this at this
yeah.
point. Legitimately just overthinking this.
Especially yeah. given yep. who
is
produces
Waddle,
this show.
Is Jalen Waddle on this list? Is Jalen Waddle on this
Not
list?
Not the name no. I would have gone with if I were you.
Come on.
All right. CeeDee Lamb is obviously on this list.
Yes. Hey. Number three. He's a 96 overall.
Good for CD. Happy for him. Okay. I feel like I'm really overthinking this officially. Stephon Diggs is on this list.
Yes. Number eight, 92 overall.
Who? What am I missing now?
You need number nine, number seven, and number four.
So I'm missing three. A player what?
Go a player ahead. That wears the number one.
Oh, Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah, I forgot about Ja'Marr Chase.
Uh-huh. Yep. He is a 93 overall, number seven.
Okay, now the next two, I'm just going to,
there's one I'd consider if the phrase grown-ass man.
Grown-ass man. Okay, so that makes me think two names, and I'm just going to shoot them both off here. You're either referring to Debo Samuel or DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, close.
No.
A.J. Brown.
Oh, A.J. Brown.
Yeah, number four is a 95 overall.
And what's the one I'm missing?
It plays for the same team of someone you already referenced.
Okay, and it's not Jalen Waddle.
Correct.
It's not Devontae Smith.
No.
It's not T. Higgins.
This one, is it Puka?
Could be Puka.
It is not Puka. He's Somebody currently are... not at training camp for his team.
Oh, is it Ayuk? Did I say
yes.
Ayuk?
Yes. Brandon Ayuk, okay. Number nine, a 91 overall.
Wow. Okay, there you go. I did not do as well as I thought I was going to do there.
You overthought
but
it.
My understanding, I did overthink it. Now, my understanding is, though, that all the Madden rankings will be dropped throughout the week. So we're going to do a quarterbacks edition of this. We're going to do a running backs edition of this. I'm going to be sharp on my trivia skills. So here you go, real quick. Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devontae Adams, Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs, Brandon Ayuk, Mike Evans, your top 10. There you go. I think that's a good list. I wasn't expecting a Packer on there. When we get to top 10 quarterbacks, I will be intrigued, though. If we have a Packer on there. And running backs, we should. Josh Jacobs should be a top 10 back. So anyway. All right, good reaction to the Jordan Love stuff. Thanks to Joshy. Thanks to Hunter. Thanks to Adam Schefter for joining us on Saturday. Good listening to some of his perspective on the Jordan Love deal. We will continue to react to this as well as all things training camp. We've got the trade deadline in the MLB coming up tomorrow, so hopefully the Brewers make a move for us to react to on Wednesday. And then we get into August, man. Hall of Fame game on Thursday, ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football Draft on Thursday. It's football season. Nothing better than it. We've got some exciting stuff in the hopper for the month of August leading you into the NFL season coming up in early September. Can't wait to get rolling, baby. It's here. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the new contract. Your Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love is the highest paid in the NFL following the extension on Friday. More reaction coming up in a half an hour on Kyle Bruston-Ortman beginning at 2 o'clock on ESPN Wisconsin. We'll talk to you then, but as for this show, we will talk to you on Wednesday beginning at 12:30 on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels, the ESPN Madison Facebook page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and available wherever you get your podcasts. It's Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Strofe. Peace.